You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We lost Ben.
He's no longer with us. Just like that.
Just like that. He's gone. He's just gone.
He was there.
For so long, it felt like.
I know.
He had so many series with us.
Like a month and a half.
It's kind of weird not having another thing. Block. Yeah. I couldn't see the Kylo Show TV for 6 weeks.
We'll have to get him back.
Yeah. He was fun.
Yeah.
He was fun. But we're on to our next series, as we do. We end one series and begin another one. That's what we like to do around here. So this one is probably, I don't know, it's one of the most... If Loving on Purpose had a hobby, I think it's probably this.
Personal growth.
Personal growth.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing that we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the fun of it.
Yep, for the fun of it. That's personal growth is, I don't know how many different personality tests or assessments or whatever you call them I have taken since.
When you love what you do, you just do it for free.
You just, everybody.
But... We can't, make the stuff big enough, fast enough if we did it for free.
Yep.
So we have all these partners.
That's true.
And we just said thank you to them.
We did. So if you didn't catch, we posted about it. I think we sent it out in an email and our socials covered it a little bit. But we just did our first Thanks-a-thon.
Before Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. Yes.
And so if you didn't get a call from us, it's because you're not on our donor list.
Oh, my gosh.
And my favorite is how many people didn't actually believe that you were really calling them.
I know.
That was pretty funny.
Hello. Hi, this is Danny Silk from Loving on Purpose. What?
Really? Is this really Danny? I got two of those. That's it. Most of them were. I got a lot of voicemails, so I got a lot of...
Well, we use this weird Google thing, so it gives you a scary phone number, and nobody wants to answer that. Some people are ready for a fight when they answer that, though. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Hello?
I have to admit, this is how I am. If it doesn't say scam likely, and I answer, I'm like, hi.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get through? Totally.
But we had a lot of fun. We had lots and lots of testimonies that just our donors shared with us, which was really fun.
So fun.
Some prayer requests to add to our big board that we have out in the office. It just kind of has all of our testimonies that we get from donors and different prayer requests that come in. Ben actually is normally the one calling everybody regularly. Yes. We just all jumped in and had over 400 people to call. Mm-hmm. And so our whole team... tackled it and divided and conquered.
Yeah. So if you want to get in on this, that would be awesome for you just to go to our website, lovingonpurpose.com, get on the giving part and
donate
and be reoccurring. You get in the $25 or more reoccurring, and then you get in on the Kylo community. Boom, just like that.
Boom, just like that.
And that's lots of conversations with us then.
Yeah, and we have people that are in the Kylo community thus far have come through challenges.
Yes.
So they're
we're ripping the top off now, man.
It's coming your way pretty soon here.
People are just coming in through the new door we just built in the tent.
Yeah, totally. But I guess why we're doing personal growth, other than it being the hobby of Loving on Purpose, is that's what really the heart of Kylo community is a place where we are developing ourselves. It's a place where we are have like-minded people coming together, asking good questions. You know, we have different resources that we're going through with the community and just chasing after what personal growth is, what it means, how does it show up in your life. So a lot of the series that we're starting as of today has to do with that's the heart behind the Kylo community. And I don't know that I would say, I mean, Loving on Purpose in a way is a personal growth movement.
Absolutely.
So it's a
whole healthy families.
That's it.
Yep.
So, which if you haven't gathered, we are passionate about this yes. personal growth thing. So we love to chase after all the, I tried to name off all the different assessments I've done, and I just started remembering rough ideas of what it was, but I don't know that they all stick. That's the thing that I love about them, is that some of them stick for you personally, like they just click, mm-hmm. and other ones are like, oh, that's good information. I'll take this piece from it. And
like the, which Disney princess are you?
Well, I feel like that's an Instagram filter, but I know I remember the one we did when we first came down here, you, me, and Yari, and in our house in Rancho Cordova, and it was something like a color wheel or something like that, color you, and I came out as Katniss, and you guys, and then I was carrying on that banner in the airport, and you kept calling me Katniss because that was the other name. Do you remember that one?
Vaguely.
Discovering you or something. It's similar to the Enneagram one, but it wasn't that. It was about colors, and I can't find it on my computer because I was trying to find it the other day.
Yeah.
But
I probably got something I wanted to forget. You got Katniss. You wanted to remember that for the rest of your life. Yeah.
That's all I remember.
Yeah, there we go.
But it wasn't after like the character Katniss. I don't understand why maybe it was Catalyst and you guys turned it to Katniss. I don't know what it was, but it was pretty funny nonetheless. So all of that. Well, but I think it's also God's design, personal growth.
And something that we've been thinking about more and more and doing, and I actually have a book coming out in not too distant future.
Oh, what?
Is really about kind of framing a model around personal growth so that people remember it. And I've been working in my consulting business with different groups with this thing called Marvel, which is, we're going to just kind of walk through it on this series. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be useful and point people to consider some things. Normally this is a 2-day on-site with a lot of folks that are trying to work down to some deep, meaningful stuff. But this is, kind of a 40,000-foot view, but it puts together the steps that keep you moving along in personal growth.
Awesome.
All the way to, how does your personal growth investment in your life end up affecting people that you love after you're gone?
Oh, this is like a legacy.
It totally is, as it should be. There should be some momentum that you've added to your loved ones and maybe even your community or your generation that perpetuates because it was really good stuff. Hmm. So it's a little bit of wealth management in a sense.
Yeah, awesome. Did you kind of quickly went past the you do this with businesses. Did you want to highlight anything there, or you just want to leave it a mystery on the table?
No. I Danny Silk Consulting does a lot of work with mid to large size churches and businesses that are interested really in investing the kingdom into their culture as they export their products. Mm. So a lot of it, it's, in essence, it's establishing a culture of honor, I think, is the tagline. But I've been doing that for a few years. Super fun. I do love it.
Your day away in the office with Zoom calls, you come out and you're just jazzed at all the problems you were working on.
I know. It's just, I could do it all day. I could do it all day. It's so much fun. And it translates into helping my friends. I just end up feeling like, oh, man, I just helped my friends a bunch today.
Do you ever work with non-Christian organizations, or does it have to be a Christian base? Because you said bringing the kingdom.
I think my priority would be that we are, expanding the kingdom. I'm not going to do any work at all trying to convince you to be honoring, That's not my goal. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not here to try to get you to agree with me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you to be more successful in what you already want to do. Mm-hmm. That's my sweet spot. So,
awesome.
I think that, being an influence is fun to do in conversation and in a work relationship. But what I, you know, I'm not here to try to get you to adopt my core values. I'm really here to help you be more effective in the ones that I know work. So we'll see if it gets outside of this realm, but this realm's pretty big. I haven't filled this one up yet. So
okay, well, let's talk about what this episode's about, which is the mission.
Uh-huh.
M.
Got it.
It's the first letter of Marvel.
Yes. It's pretty much identifies why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lack of clarity around your mission and purpose in life kind of puts your life on pause, and sure. Or you end up chasing rabbits your whole life. You know, you just respond to the urgent, and you kind of have a crisis management style lifestyle. And then when there's no crisis, you watch a movie, you play a video game, you take a nap, you have nothing to do.
Yeah.
And then when the crises start revving up again, boy, you feel alive and you're so engaged. And a lot of people, you know, run their business like that, or their team like that, or their family like that, or just their personal life. And they kind of bounce around from a lack of clarity about why I'm on this earth, what my life's about, what are the big rocks in my life that I will execute every week, come hell or high water,
yeah.
Here's what I'll be doing.
Yeah.
And so when I don't have to do something, I get to do something. Mm. And this is what I'll be working on.
Oh, that's great. I mean, reading a Stephen Covey book forever, it's taking me forever. But I'm more visual, I think, than I am. So videos or different things kind of last longer. So your big rock analogy, I remember Stephen Covey did that
mm-hmm.
video,
mm-hmm.
you know, the urgent and now are all the little pebbles
yep.
that fill the crack. But then he's got these big rocks and, you know, a lot of them have to do with the roles that you play in your life as a wife or as a mother or as a daughter or as a friend. And I just remember watching him do this illustration of, you know, giving so much space to the urgent and now,
mm-hmm.
And you minimize the impact of the things that you truly do care about.
That you end up leaving out of your uh-huh. life or postponing because you failed to fill up your life with purpose and meaning. And so these busy little things that are
yeah.
somebody else's anxiety pour into your life and take up all your space.
Yeah. Which is a great analogy when thinking about mission of, wow, you are going to sabotage yourself. Like you mm-hmm. are the one that's going to lose your momentum towards the impact that you have in this world. Mm-hmm. And probably looking back at how much fulfillment you have of this is what I did.
Yeah.
Because you gave all this space to.
And it, I think, you know, there's a, I remember hearing sermons and various speakers talk about kind of how your life breaks down in having a calling, having an anointing, having a purpose. I know that I've heard it preached so many different ways, and I know that Brad Lominick wrote a book called H3, mm-hmm. and he kind of puts it into three yeah. categories. There's just all these different ways, but I think the key thing that is going to begin to unleash your purpose in life is that you know who you are, your identity. You got to get your identity nailed, and the clarity around identity really flows out of who gave it to you?
Yeah.
Like, where did you get this identity? Because the author of your creation designed you.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, I got to have that pretty clear. I better find a way to honor that designer. And so, you know, we as believers, obviously, we're getting that from our Father, and that we're his children. And so my motive really is to be pleasing to my Father.
Yeah.
and my life is in obedience and submission and impact mm-hmm. with the gifts and talents that he's given us. So starting with identity, like you got to get that clear, because if I'm getting my identity from a group of friends, sure. well, then they've created me.
Yeah.
So I live my life to please them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty low level.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, maybe I get my identity from culture.
Yeah, or job or whatever it is that has your most attention to it. I think that
I spend most time,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. All that. Which I mean, when we talk about your identity is such a huge impact of the mission, this is why I think the devil goes after your identity so young, because if he can derail you from this such an impressionable age of discovering who you are, rooted in where you belong, it just like burns up a bunch of your fuel for what you were trying to do.
Totally.
I just look at this.
Derailed.
You totally are derailed, and you know, you walk in this no man's land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that this, so going after the identity and clarifying the identity for young people, you know, I love young adults ministry, and they should be just drilling identity like crazy. Hopefully they are. I don't know who's mm-hmm. in charge of our young adults ministry, but that's what it breaks my heart, because you see all these young adults, and I don't think it has to be limited to young adults, but it definitely feels like that's the, you have the most energy. Mm-hmm. We'll just say that. You have the most energy when you're really young, and mm-hmm. and when you're robbed of who you are,
mm-hmm.
it's like you lose the momentum of what you're supposed to be creating in your yeah. mission.
Yeah, so. And you're running on the wrong fuel.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
we need to have an eternal fuel.
Yeah,
not a temporal or a get by fuel,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of, well, you know, this car runs on kerosene. It does. It totally does run, but not very well. But it runs. It gets, you know, it's tearing up the engine, and it doesn't perform near yeah. what it should. And you're like, yeah, why don't we get some gasoline?
Sure.
Why don't we get some high octane performance fuel dumping in this thing? Get it moving. And then, so we go identity, then a calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like this is your design in action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is your like if you've been designed as an artist or as a pastor or as a pilot or whatever, you know, that's your calling. You're mm-hmm. like, do this thing, because you're going to be doing this for a while, and you'll find different expressions of that, but this will be your lane for quite some time. And it'll probably morph it, you know, as you mature and or maybe create another opportunity, another level of opportunity. Maybe you won't. Like, I was a social worker for years, and we were involved in all of that. But underneath all that was a pastor.
Mm.
I just was doing it in, you know, the judicial system and working with juvenile offenders, working with foster children, working with foster parents, adoptive parents,
yeah.
And working with the courts, working with the district attorney's office, CPS, probation. You know, it was all, that was my church in the weirdest kind of way. But it really just formed me to then step into being a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I think your calling is this thing that sets the course of your life. Like, you are headed in that direction. There'll be lots of opportunities in there. Don't worry about getting pinned in, but fill that space.
Yeah.
And then eventually I think you get just more and more and more and more focused.
Yeah. I love the story with you and John and kind of the discovery of you became a social worker. You were on this track to kind of replace him in his company. But that discovery of being a pastor mm. kind of changing your life, and, you know, which your calling can change somewhat. You know, you had your social work church, as you called it. But his response, I mean, you know it better than I do, but his response was really kind of so encouraging to, you know, if he had anything to do with what you were created to do, he considers it an honor.
Yeah. John Tillery was, you know, one of my early spiritual fathers. Probably him and Bill Johnson are the two shapers in much of my early Christianity. And I spent 9 years, you know, getting a master's degree, and his company, Ramey Vista, is paying the bulk of that. Mm-hmm. And I get through that. I get to the end. I'm 1 year into my intern work, and Bill Johnson calls. Mm-hmm. And oh, my gosh, will you be my associate pastor? I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm on a trek here. I'm moving in a direction. I didn't realize it was the same direction. Billy Graham could have called me. I would have said no. Bill Johnson? Oh, Lord, here we go. So, John, wow, I know you have big plans for me in this business, in this company, but I got this call. Well, anything I've done to help prepare you for what God has designed you to do, I consider it an honor. Like, whoa, wow.
Yeah.
He dug deep on that one and really blessed us. And here we are today, mm-hmm. largely due to that lunch.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Which even the next phase of this is the assignment, which those change. And I look at where we are now. I mm-hmm. mean, I don't know that who you would call your church now, but I think many people refer to you as a pastor in their life,
mm-hmm.
you know. So you've just expanded it, but, you know, your identity, your calling, you know, the same, somewhat adjusted and changed. You probably just got more in the right lane than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
But the assignments are just always changing.
Yeah.
And they're all...
That's the thing that confuses people, I think, uh-huh. is that they think that their identity changed. They think their calling changed. Like, no, those two are pretty steady. It's this assignment. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you working on right now? What are you obeying?
Mm-hmm.
And those places of obedience come to completion, or they phase out, or it's time for a transition. Yeah. But people feel like they're losing their identity if they're no longer the pastor of a church.
Yeah.
You know, they feel like they're losing their identity when their children move out.
Totally.
You know, I'm a mother. I'm a father.
Yeah.
My child. I'm moving with them. You know, like, no, you're not. Your identity's the same.
Yeah.
Your calling as a nurturer mm-hmm. remains.
Yeah.
You're just not a mother with children in her house.
Yeah, totally.
You know, a father with children in his house. These things you have to adjust in your assignment, or you're really going to mess things up.
It's true. We were just at lunch, and I think it was John that was talking about all the things that they're doing. And I've known John almost my whole life,
mm-hmm.
and I think we left that lunch, and I said, "Wow, that they're doing a lot." And you said they're just doing the same thing they've always done, just in a different way. And it just feels like that's the assignment.
Yeah, their assignment. They are faithful.
I mean, he's retired. I mean, and they are just still pouring into people that need a father and a mother mm-hmm. in some sense. You know? And even I think he said a few times, like, we're your grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
You know, because usually international people they're helping with. Something. I'm like, this Ken, so kind.
So good.
Awesome.
Well, grandma, the journey of personal growth
yes.
has got to start with the mission and purpose and the reason you get out of bed. You've got to be clear about who you are, where you're headed, and what is in front of you. Mm-hmm. What are you responsible to do?
Yeah. So good. Well, you know, we talked about our habits, if you will, of personal growth here at Living on Purpose, and we talked a little bit about our Thanksathon and why we were calling people. And to be part of that, it's really being donors to our and partners. That's what we like to call you more than anything mm-hmm. is our partner in this mission of creating whole, healthy families.
Yeah.
And so, if you're curious as to how to become a part of our partners and maybe get a phone call from Danny Silk or me.
It's like a raffle.
It is. My mom was making phone calls. There was all sorts of people from the team. You know, if you got Ben or Christian, you probably had a lot of chit chat. Those guys were talking forever. Every time they got someone answered the phone, it was great. But really, it's just an invitation to partner with us on our mission that we are really chasing after a whole healthy family. So visit lovingonpurpose.com if you want more information. And the donate button's up at the top, and I'll just lead you through really the opportunity to partner with us. And that's really what we're after. So if you're interested in all of that we shared, come join us. But we're going to jump into questions, so we'll see you in a minute. All right, well, we're going to jump into questions. And our first question comes to us from Hugo.
Okay, my question is, how do you stay true to your gospel? How do you keep your love on with your spouse? If she had an affair, everything came out in the open. And during the period of 4 months after everything came in the open, of going back and forth about what to do and how to handle it, she could never truly commit because she kept contact with the person and everything I did was wrong. So now we're at the point where divorce is inevitable, but we do still live together. We have 3 children together. We're always going to be a part of each other's lives. But this period before the finalization of it, how do you keep your love on? How do you stay true to the gospel of Christ?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Super painful.
Yeah. Well, you sound mature in the approach, which is really like we are always going to be a part of each other's mm-hmm. lives. We share children.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like there is that, like the desire to stay connected, you know, harmoniously connected, for the benefit of the children, but also probably for your own benefit. Like, okay, I've got to walk in forgiveness. I've got to walk in love. So it sounds like you're powerful mm-hmm. in that you realize, okay, I can stay miserable or I can, require a commitment to the person I'm married to.
Yeah.
And not getting that. All right. Then I will find the commitment. Mm-hmm. Love is his counselor, and that he's saying, okay, I need to direct myself like this. And connection's the goal. It's not something I control, but it sounds like she may be willing to stay connected way out here,
yeah.
just not in here.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, well, that's where we'll be connected then, because my goal's connection, and if you're willing, then that's where we'll connect.
Yeah.
And then I'll stay respectful mm-hmm. and I'll continue to chase fear away from my conversation and I won't participate in any disrespectful exchanges with you. So boundaries are interesting. So it sounds like you're doing it as much as yeah. possible. The problem's going to be when we're this close, we're living in the same house together mm-hmm. and I know you're doing stuff that's breaking my heart
yeah.
and if I wasn't here, I wouldn't know about it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, that's probably the thing to manage. And if nothing else, it's probably going to accelerate how quickly you find another place to live.
Yeah, I mean, you went through the Kylo 5, which is what I was thinking about. Was print those out, Hugo, and look at them every day.
Mm.
How am I going to be a powerful person doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, having a vision for the season is going to help you instead of living in such a place of easily becoming a victim.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can lock onto a vision that you want to walk through this season well and that you manage yourself, because that's all you can do,
yeah.
it's going to help you just, have better days because you've got a target that you're aiming for regardless of what she's choosing to do. Mm-hmm. And then I would say figure out how to get your closest friends close to you for when you go on the spiral to be able to let them into your goals and your vision for the season. Cause it gets hard. And
Yeah, and don't forget that there's a whole bunch of grieving that's happening.
Totally.
You know, because you're when you sever a soul tie, mm-hmm. it's not a little thing.
Yeah.
And it takes time.
And it's hard when you're not the one choosing to sever it.
Totally.
Because it's a different form of grieving. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this place that settles in and you're gonna have to be willing to walk through that process. It's not going to be an easy one. It's not fun to look at the grief, but that's what's going to keep you being the best dad for your kids,
mm-hmm.
and helping you be the best version of yourself on the other side of this.
Yeah. And so I know that we are always looking for repentance in reconciling things like this from the offender.
Yeah.
But it's two-sided because mm-hmm. I have to repent also because that injury usually leads me to either feeling like a victim mm. or judging your skin off and then punishing you.
Yeah.
So either way, I have to repent to get back to being a powerful person because that I feel like I got hit by a train. Mm. That feeling, I either want to fight the train or I feel like I may never recover because of the train. My repentance leads me back to taking responsibility for what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to bless. I'm going to pray for. And I'm going to continue in my calling, in my destiny, in my assignment. You know, my assignment has changed.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, you know, that's an illustration of that.
Yeah, totally.
My identity did not. My calling did not. I'm still a father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's hoping to be a husband again somewhere, then that's maybe an option. But you're still a man of God. Mm-hmm. You're still whatever your calling is. That didn't change, but your assignment definitely is changed.
Yeah, totally. All right, great question, Hugo. We'll be praying for you, and remember that Kylo 5. That's gonna be helpful. All right, our next question comes to us from Ansley.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. This is Ansley. So I'm currently in the middle of some tension here. I've been going to counseling for about a year and listening to your guys' podcast, trying to apply keeping my love on and whole healthy families. And I'm just struggling to communicate to my mom what I have been doing to get to where I'm at, and she is struggling with addiction, and so it's difficult because I freeze in the midst of trying to communicate to her why there's distance, and I want to be honoring to her, obviously, because that's what we're called to do. So I'm just curious on what you guys would encourage me to say to her in communicating where I'm at and what I'm aiming to do for my family. So thank you so much and can't wait to hear back.
Mm-hmm.
Another hard one, just with setting boundaries with somebody that sounds like they might be scary or making poor choices.
Yeah, this is the let me tell you about me mm-hmm. and then I'll listen to you tell me about you. That exchange of truth can help. Not always, because not everybody wants to hear the truth.
Yeah.
But it can help us understand why the other person's behaving the way they're behaving. If you just shut down, distance yourself, and don't respond to my emails or phone calls, then I just feel rejected. I don't understand what's happening over there. Mm-hmm. But if you tell me that you feel scared by the unpredictable response or reaction you get in the relationship, I don't know who I'm calling. I don't know who I'm texting with. Mm-hmm. I don't know who I'm talking to. That unpredictable experience scares me,
yeah.
and I don't want it in my life. So that's why I am not responding, and that's why I'm not talking to you. And until you can consistently be respectful and kind and able to listen to mm-hmm. things that I need. I don't have very many people like that in my life. Mm-hmm. Actually, none.
Yeah. You know, one thing I've practiced with Delaney when she has to have confrontation, she's not think on your toes type of girl, and she's still learning the concepts. 17. I don't know how old you are, Ansley, but it's still new. If it's mm-hmm. still a developed tool that you're practicing, sometimes I recommend to write down what are the key things that I need to talk about for myself. You know, I feel scared, the inconsistency, and what I'm willing to do, which is I'm willing to open up this relationship as soon as those things go away. I'm no mm-hmm. longer scared of this relationship. So, you know, and then keeping, if you read Keep Your Love On, those I messages, you know, mm-hmm. kind of put that on a piece of paper and figure out how am I going to communicate using this tool. Mm-hmm. And then little bullet points below that keep me anchored to what the goal of this conversation is. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they do their flybys and they're dropping bombs and it's, you know, accusing you or really hurtful. And so those things default someone that maybe doesn't know how to use the tool or isn't a fast-paced thinker to know what to say. And so I know that Delaney's just practiced, this is what I'm going to communicate. And it feels silly, but you kind of just say it over and over and over again, no matter what bomb this person's dropping in the conversation.
And as long as you're listening, I'll continue talking. Mm-hmm. But the moment you stop listening, I'll stop talking.
Yeah. And leading with that. Mm-hmm. So I think helping yourself create a plan around this conversation, what do you want to walk away that, you know, you're trying to communicate and knowing I'm not going to argue, I'm not going to take the bait, I'm not going to participate in disrespectful conversations. Just creating a plan around that is probably a practical way to feel more successful in having a conversation.
If people spent near the time mapping out what they were going to do mm-hmm. instead of mapping out how I'm going to try to get you to do something,
sure.
it would just be, you know, revival would happen all over the world. I'm telling you, it's just so amazing how much energy we put in trying to get somebody yeah. else to see something, to say something, to do something.
Or the amount of time we give in the defensive posture of when you do this, I'm going to do this, instead of coming, this is my goal, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I mean, a little bit of effort and planning helps you feel prepared in this conversation and helps you walk away going, I did a good job of working on me,
mm-hmm.
which is... sounds like what needs to happen.
Right. And I'm going mm-hmm. to
set this boundary.
I'm going to listen yeah. for, I'm going, this is my assignment.
Uh-huh. You know,
my assignment in this conversation is to Kylo 5.
Yep. Yep. Good questions, hard questions, but good questions. All right. We're going to go ahead and jump into our testimony now. So today's testimony comes to us from Patrick.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. This is Patrick from Australia. My wife and I would like to give a quick testimony, or myself on behalf of her as well, about how the Kylo Show has impacted us. Now, we've been listening to the Loving on Purpose materials for quite a long time. We have been practicing in our own lives, studying the materials and living it out as best we can on a good day. We have been facilitators in our small church group, and it's such a privilege to bring that material to other people and see their lives change. Particularly the Kylo Show for us, though, has been a touch point weekly. We are fortunate that we have to drive to a different location for our work once a week. We're both in the car together. It's an hour journey there. And so we put the Kylo Show on and we listen. We're in the car together listening to the Kylo show. We look at each other and laugh and ponder when you guys bring up different things. And there's always a little gem, a little bit of wisdom, some gold, something you've reminded us again of the materials that we've always studied. There's always something to learn, and we really appreciate the personal testimonies that you put in from your own lives. This ritual of ours now, for want of a better word, has really impacted our marriage. We take this time apart and, feed ourselves with this material. And then on the trip home at night, another hour journey, we discuss what we heard in the morning. And it's really helped our connection. Moving forward, we won't be making this trip anymore, but we continue to invest in each other and in our marriage by taking time out and listening to the Kylo show and discussing what that has brought up for us. And again, thank you guys so much. It has been life-changing in our marriage, in our work lives, in our church environment as well. So thank you guys very much.
Woohoo.
Yeah. That's great.
That's good stuff. Patrick, he's a faithful on all the things that we do online. He's always shown up from Aussie land.
Mm-hmm. He is. I've seen his name, and the team all knows him as well. So he's definitely a regular. And
Mom and I went down to Australia in the Brisbane area, and we met up with Bernie Godwin, whose book just came out, Loving Our Students on Purpose. Uh-huh. And he came to a, it was like a, I don't know if it was a Kylo conference. It was Loving on Purpose, probably something yeah. And so we had a bunch of things. Well, he was there, and I kept sharing about exchanging truth. And pretty soon they start saying, struth. And I said, what's struth? And they said, strong truth or straight truth. And I'm like, oh, that's great. So that became kind of a interaction point with me and the audience. And then one day in the mail, I get a coffee mug from Patrick. It says Struth on it with a definition. So we have a couple of those sitting in the cupboard here at Loving on Purpose.
Every now and then we pull out our Struth mug and we drink from it. So that's good stuff. Awesome. Yeah. Patrick's super sweet. His wife's really sweet. And I love the, just the act of initiation they've taken to grow, to lean in. And, like he said, he's been a student of Loving on Purpose. They both have for years, but they're still able to find just something to take away from the Kylo show, which just really shows you how much they're willing to receive and steward and keep going deeper. So absolutely. Awesome. Great job, Patrick.
Yep.
And I think that's it for the first round of personal growth.
There we go.
We did it.
We accomplished our mission.
Uh-huh. We did. I see what you did there. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us on the Kylo Show, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of the Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Allie Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.